Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. I am coming to you in the wee hours of the morning in an undisclosed location in the state of Colorado where I am conducting a homicide trial. But I wanted to bring to you the Chris Watts jail interviews that the FBI, Colorado Bureau of Investigations, and the Frederick Police Department conducted with Chris Watts to try and gain more insight into his heinous crimes. I appreciate you watching. Please like the video. Please subscribe to the channel. And if you have a comment about something Mr. Watts says, please leave a comment and we will talk about it.
Called you about it, like, what do you recommend that I do? And he's like, it's kind of up to you.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And I called one of her friends, you know, what should I do? And she said, I probably wouldn't do it, but I just felt like, you know, I don't even want to know what I said, what I looked like on there, because I knew it. Some people said it just made it look even worse after the fact, but
it didn't look good. I mean, obviously we can't say, oh, we knew right then he was lying, but I think we all watched it together and went, this might be bad.
Yeah,
I had that feeling after I watched it. So I could kind of see it in your face.
It's like I was just lying to more and more people, and it's just like,
Do you have internet access here?
No.
So you don't, just don't get into that trap of putting in, watching
what
all
trap?
That.
Oh.
The social media trap and all that.
No, they don't. They don't let you have social media. Yeah. Like, I think some of the GP guys are getting like these little like tablets or something that are like, you know, the size of like a older iPhone or something.
Mm.
But I think they can use like email, but I'm not sure about like social media. No, definitely no social media. But like,
yeah.
I'm not sure about internet or not, but
mm-hmm.
This place is kind of like, you know, a dead zone pie for phones anyways, I would think.
I don't know, we're getting service, which is weird.
Yeah.
I didn't think we would.
Right here.
Yeah, right in this room.
Maybe this is kind of like a hub of computers.
Yeah, that's
this
true.
This is the spot.
Yeah, computer room, you would hope that it had some.
Did you talk to Nikki afterwards, after all this happened?
On the 13th, on the, yeah, 13th and the 14th.
What was that conversation like?
It was the 13th. It was kind of like, you know, it was more text and then maybe a phone call, like a phone call. And then she thought maybe Shanann, like, took off with the kids. Like, just, you know, because I was telling her I didn't know where they were and all that. And then the 14th, like, she kind of, like, I think she kind of thought something may have happened because they hadn't come back.
Why do you say that she might have thought that?
Her, you know, she kept asking me, like, some weird questions. Like, she kept asking, like, questions that only I would know, but she was testing to see if, like, it was actually me on the phone. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, she would ask, like, you know, like, what's my dog's name? Or, like, what do I, like, what yoga studio do I go to? Or something like that. And just, like, like, I just answer, like, and then like another thing about, I'm not sure if this is you. And I'm just like, okay.
Is this through text or is this through calls?
Text.
Oh, okay. So she wasn't hearing your voice. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it possible she thought you'd been arrested and we were on the phone?
Either Shanann had my phone or somebody else had my phone. Or like maybe, you know, maybe she thought it was.
Well, hopefully Shanann would know all the answers to those questions, right?
No, this is Nikki asking me.
Yeah, but if she's asking you your name of your dog and what yoga studio, and
yeah.
Like, wouldn't
she? Well, she maybe she thought, you know, maybe I was with Shanann, that she was just trying to find out who she was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like some of the conversations, like on the 14th, got a little weird. I think that's when she met with CBI or something, or FBI. I'm not sure who she met with first.
So she talked to you after she met with?
Nope.
Oh, she did.
Was like, she had told me, like, this is the last time you'll probably hear from me. I'm going to stay at my friend Jim's place while this is all going on. She said not to contact her until this is done. She told me to delete everything. And I didn't delete everything. I just, okay. I'm not sure why I didn't delete everything, but probably helped you guys out a little bit. But
she told you to delete everything?
Delete all conversations.
Did she tell you why?
She just said delete it. Which I don't think you can ever delete a text message.
We're pretty good at getting deleted text messages.
Did when your dad came in, one of the first things you guys talked about, he said, you know, kind of quietly, I cheated on her, I cheated on Shannon or something. Your dad didn't know until that time?
No, they had. When I was in North Carolina on August 6th, when I spent most of the day with my parents and my sister and everybody, you know, they had, I had told them, like, something like, you know, this, I don't think this is going to work, like, with what happened with the nuts and everything, and they're not being able to see the kids, they're like, you know, this is the first time they had talked to me. And pretty much.
Because you went 3 weeks or something, right?
Yeah, because Shannon told me to call him while I was in at the beach just to smooth everything out. Because she was like, all right, whatever's going on in your head, you need to fix this. But she didn't want me to, she didn't want the kids to see him. She didn't want to see him. And then, like, when I did see him on August 6th, it was after I went and saw my grandmother. She's in a nursing home. And she still wouldn't go see my parents or anybody or the kids. So I just told her to leave me there, and my dad, like, picked me up, and, you know, spent the whole day there. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, they said they want to see the kids. They just don't know if they could ever, like, you know, just forgive Shan for everything that happened that day. I guess, I mean, I'm not sure, like, everything that was said that day when they had that argument, but apparently it was, like, a knockdown, drag out, like, bomb that went off.
Pretty hurtful things.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. And mm-hmm. They just don't know, like, if they could ever forgive her or not. And I just, like, I never told them about, like, you know, cheating on her. Like, they even asked me, is there somebody else?
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
So they could kind of sense maybe something was going on?
Yeah, because Nikki was texting me the entire time I was over there. Oh. So, like, they could kind of see, like, I was texting somebody. Mm-hmm. But it was, like, maybe they kind of knew. Like, even, like, when I was in San Diego talking to my friend Mark, I told him about Nikki. But I didn't tell him, like, I was going to meet up with her.
Okay.
I told him that, you know, I was trying to, like, I should have just told him right then. Maybe that would have helped me. I know maybe he had an instance where there was some girl coming after him, and she was engaged, and he ended up getting with her, and then they were together, and then she cheated on him.
Is this before he was married or during?
It was after.
Okay.
Like, he could have, you know, helped me, but I just, you know, I never told him the whole thing, that, you know, it was a lot further along than I wanted it to be.
That's interesting to think about, right? Because your dad could have given me some good advice.
Yeah, everybody. Now, this is my friend Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah.
When I was in San Diego.
Oh, I gotcha.
So you think you told Mark about that, hoping that he maybe question you about it, or?
Well, I was, because, you know, Mark, my best friend, you know, I grew up with him since I was, like, 8, 9 years old.
Yeah.
So, like, he had been married before, and it didn't work out. I guess they were stationed together or something, like, over in Korea. And I should have just came out with, like, the whole story. Like, you know, like, I just told him, like, there was this girl at work that, you know, I've been talking to, but I'm just distancing myself from her.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
I was just letting it, you know, exponentially get worse.
Right.
And if I told him, like, hey, you know.
Yeah.
He would have been like, whoa, man, like, all right, take a step back and look.
Yeah. Right.
And, like, don't, like, fall into that trap, being you're going to be alone for 5 weeks.
Right.
And there's times I wish, you know, like, maybe Shannon didn't have to go away for 5 weeks. Maybe we all just went for 1 week.
Yeah.
And nothing would have ever happened.
Yeah.
It's only, I mean, 5 weeks alone, that's the only reason, really, that was even almost even allowed to happen.
There are quite a few people who would tell us, and who do tell us, you need to look into Nikki more, Nikki Kissinger. All the way from the extreme end of things being, Nikki's the one who ordered the hit.
She was there. I'm in the basement.
She was there. You know, so the extreme is, she's the one who told Chris to do it. She's the real problem. All the way, that's the extreme side. And then all the way to, Well, there were these texts where she was infatuated, she was in love, she was saying how good Chris was in the sack, and maybe we should look at her more. You know, what would you say to those people?
Like, you know, she had her moments where I had to talk her, like, off a ledge kind of deal.
What does that mean?
It's like, I guess after the fact, there was, like, videos of her that she was, like, recording herself because she was, like, bipolar or something. I never knew that. But there, it's like, and she would get worked up about nothing. She would just, like, she came to my house once because I think it was, like, July 4th. I didn't have to work that day. So I didn't, like, get up at, like, you know, 4 o'clock and go home. And Shanann called me, like, 10 times in a row. And I didn't hear it because I was sleeping. And I was just, like, and she was pissed. Shanann was pissed. And, like, I called her outside, like, where are you at? Like, what, like, I was like, I didn't have to work today. It's like, he called me at, like, you know, 5:30. It was like, my kids want to talk to you at 7:30. I'm like, I was sleeping. She's like, and she just, like, you know, screw you. Like, you know, like, I don't know where you're at. And I went back inside. So I'm like, I gotta go. And she was just like, okay, are you coming back? I'm like, probably not.
So wait a minute, you kind of lost me there. Were you at Nikki's place when Shanann called you?
Yeah.
Okay, and so you were sleeping in her bed.
Yeah, because I wasn't going to work that day because I didn't have to that day. Mm-hmm. Okay. First holiday I ever had off. And, you know, Shanann was pissed and, you know, kind of pissed Nikki off too that I left. But I think that's when I called Nikki later and she was like, you know, she kind of realized that, you know, she'd always be like, you know, the second, you know, second, she said second fill.
Sure.
And because that's how I probably would come back that day. Just, you know, I don't want to be anywhere else when Shanann calls. She was already pissed. So, it was stuff like that where she would, she said she would go on, like, websites and look at, like, will a relationship work with somebody? Like, will a mistress work? Will a mistress turn into a relationship?
That's what Nikki was looking at?
Yeah.
She would tell you that or you
heard
that?
She told me that.
Okay.
Yeah, she said that she would go on websites and look at stuff like that. I was like, why do you even look at stuff like that? She's like, I just want to see what other people have experienced.
But, like, so that confuses me, though, because I thought earlier you were saying she thought you were heading toward a divorce. So why was she looking at herself as a mistress?
This was later on.
Oh.
Like, okay. You know, in August, like, okay. The first week of August, when I told her, like, you know, I had to have that talk with her about separation.
Uh-huh.
That's when, like, she started looking at, like, apartments and stuff. But, like, during our July relationship type thing there.
Oh, I see.
That's when she was looking up, like, you know, will it actually work?
Okay.
She told her friend Brittany about it, I guess, and Brittany told her not to do it, but she said she already made a decision.
Okay. And so, are those people absolutely wrong about Nikki? She wasn't asking you to get rid of your family?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. And no part of any of this was because she put it in your head or asked you to? Or
no, she never, I mean, this whole relationship contributed to it.
Sure.
But she didn't want me to.
I mean, was it ever like, I wish you didn't have kids, I want to have, you know, kids of my own with you, like.
She never knew if she wanted to have kids, but she said that, you know, at one point she said, I'd like to give you a son.
What, did she know that Shanann was pregnant with a boy?
No.
Did she know Shanann was pregnant?
No.
And why is that? You just didn't tell her?
I didn't tell her. Like, because we had met.
But she didn't put that on Facebook.
That's
like, how did she not see that?
I don't know. Maybe she didn't. She just was waiting for me to tell her, or she put it out of her head.
Can I ask you a question? A lot of people think you named Nico after Nikki. So what was that about?
Nico was actually a name that Shanann liked.
Shanann thought of that one.
Yeah, I wanted to spell it like N-E-K-O. I thought it was like Nico that way. Mm-hmm. But she said N-I-C-O, and I thought it was like, said like Nico or something.
Okay.
Because Nico is more of like an Italian name.
Italian, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and like she did leave for, you know, my middle name and my dad's and all that. But like Nico is like, that's a name that she always liked.
Okay.
Did she name all the kids? She named Bella and Celeste?
Yeah, Bella, because Italian means beautiful. Marie, mom's middle name. Celeste is her grandmother's name. Catherine's Shanann's middle name.
Did you have any input in their names?
I just told them I liked them. I was like, if we have, or like, if we had a third child, you know, I was gonna, maybe we could have like Lee in the middle name, but you know, I knew like the girls' names. Was, you know, I love those names, so I was like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Especially like with the, you know, you have little nicknames for them, you know, like Belle and Belladine and Cece, obviously. So. It's good, but yeah, Nico was.
Can we go back to the house on the 13th? So, at one point, right when you got back there and Coonrod was there, Officer Coonrod and Nicole was there, mm-hmm. and then you went in the house in there for about a minute or so before you let everybody in. Remember what you were doing in there at that time?
I went into the garage.
Right.
And then I ran around and I opened the front door.
Yeah.
Opened the front door for, did everybody come in through the garage or the front door?
Everybody came through the front door.
Yeah, so I came in. I went in through there, and I came in and opened the front door, and I ran upstairs. I just was like, you know, like I was looking around.
Okay. That's after everybody? Did you go around the house at all before you opened the front door?
No, I didn't run around the house. I stayed down on the bottom, okay. the bottom floor, and then went and opened the door.
Yeah, okay. Just curious.
And I ran upstairs and everybody else, and that's when Nicole's son mm-hmm. found the phone, and I was going from acting like I was walking through the house.
Yeah. She didn't have her bra on. Was that normal that she would sleep in her bra?
Every once in a while. I mean, she just got home from the plane, so she didn't even take off her makeup or anything. Maybe she was just that tired. But normally, I don't know.
Did it not come off when you guys had sex?
No. I don't think so. Sometimes she just, you know, she just keeps her shirt on and she doesn't want me to. Just like she wants what she wants. She knew what she wanted. That's what she wanted.
Was it just missionary sex?
Yep.
And when she her final resting place, was that just naturally what she was wearing? You didn't change her or anything like that? Okay.
Did you have to see any of that stuff? Pictures or anything?
No. I asked not to. Okay. They said I could. I was like, no, I don't want. I've prayed for those hazmat workers that I'm sure it was hazmat, right? I had to.
They were part of it.
Yeah.
And like, we were all there.
We were all there.
I'm sorry. I never wanted to see it. I just prayed for that. I'd rather have to be there. I never wanted to know what the aftermath was. And they said, like, you know, if this ever got like a preliminary hearing, that I would have to see them just to be prepared and not have a reaction, an initial reaction. But I was like, I don't want to see them.
Do you feel like your lawyers were fair to you? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were my only human contact, really.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, almost like a guidance counselor, almost.
Yeah. Did you feel like you were driving the bus, though, with your decisions you made?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
no?
I was like, there was a lot of things I didn't really know what was going on behind the scenes. Like,
sure.
Maybe there was a lot of things they never told me. Like, you know, like stuff that came out, like, afterwards, like the whole Nikki Kessinger article in the Denver Post and all that kind of stuff they told me, like, afterwards and everything, but it was, I always felt like anything I was telling them, they were going to do. Like the whole taking the plea deal and everything, I told them that's what I wanted to do. And they, you know, they asked me, like, it seems like 100 times, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure? Like, once you sign this, like, I guess I up until sentencing, I had the time to, like, you know, back out. But, like, they always, even before we walked in the court, like, are you sure? So, yeah, this is. Is it okay? They never told me this is what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, they always just said this is your decision. You know, like if you want to take this farther, we're, you know. And John said he was ready. He had all kinds of motions written, all kinds of stuff that were like really creative, and because he'd never been in something like this before, and he was ready to fight. And I was just like, I didn't want you to have to do that. Not for me. Not for something that the story isn't true.
Yeah.
Because it would have just only gotten worse.
Right.
For everybody. For all three of you, for everybody that was involved in it.
Are you still glad you did?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought I'd be in prison the rest of my life, but like I don't want people to have to keep going through this every day of their lives, knowing that, you know, there's a trial hanging over their head, or, I mean, if it ever got that far, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't want people to have to relive it every day.
Yeah.
Did they have to ever see the pictures?
Wait, say that again.
Did they have to ever see the pictures? Frank and Sandy and all that?
No. No, they never saw it.
They saw some things.
They didn't see anything of that.
Okay.
Yeah. We shielded that from them.
That's one, like, I just didn't want them to have to see anything or hear anybody talk about what anything or any part of it. Or, like, you know, anybody bash their daughter, you know? Like, anybody to ruin, like, you know, to hear what, you know, some of my friends had a negative, you know, impact on her, from her, or, like, had a description of her that didn't match, you know, something like that. I didn't want them to hear that either, but, like, I didn't want them, like, anybody have to trash her memory. Like, I wanted, like, them to know, like, she was, you know, she's a loving wife, she's beautiful, she always helped everybody else, all her friends, her Lucas friends, everybody. I didn't want anybody to take away what she did.
We tried to get you to say that night,
I know.
Do you remember that?
I remember, I was just like...
I know you obviously weren't ready to say that then.
I know, it's like, you know, like, after my dad left, we both came in, like, all right, we got most of the story. Let's get to the true story. I'm just like, I just wanted to bang my head against the table.
But in the end, I think you did the right thing. And even though it's hard to hear, there's a lot of people who thank you for what you did. You know, I think your whole life has been thinking of others, except for one brief moment. You know, I think you really did think of others when you made that choice. So I personally thank you, right? It would have been hard for the three of us to go through about this hard and for everyone else about that hard, right?
Yeah, it was anybody that was family or friends.
Right.
It would have been, you know, just exponentially harder for everybody.
Yeah. I think you're the right thing.
So you haven't told your parents what happened? You just told them I'm pleading guilty for a reason?
Yeah, I've told them, like, on the phone, even, because they're still...
You should fight it. You should get...
They've got letters from, like, Australia, from England, I mean, of, like, the 35C in Colorado and stuff, like, you know, improper counsel or something like that.
Ineffective counsel. Mm-hmm.
Ineffective counsel. And, I mean, some of the stuff they've, you know, they've said about, you know, the dry patch, how it's not, like, FDA approved, how it can alter somebody's mind, there was some kind of condition. But there's something else they call, like, CPSD, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, something like that. Have been, like, some people from England have had it. It's like they've been in an emotionally abusive relationship and stuff like that. I mean, just like, you know, some of the little subjects they put in there, like, yeah, I can relate to it, but, like, it doesn't make up for the fact what happened. But, like, they've got a lot of support. They've got a lot of hate mail, a lot of phone calls, a lot of, like, you know, stuff like that. I wish they never happened. But they get some support, which is good. But on the phone, they still think, you know, there's a chance that I could get out.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to ever think your kid's going away forever. Like,
you don't want to fathom that. They tell me to fight it, like, you know, they don't die every day, but on their bad days,
yeah,
they'll get a bad message or a bad letter, and then they'll just kind of revert back.
Is it more your mom or your dad?
My mom, she loses it a lot.
Yeah.
On the phone, my dad's usually trying to, you know, like, hey, don't talk about this stuff on the phone with him. Because it's just going to rattle, it's going to rile you up, and it's going to make him go back to his cell, and he's going to just kind of think about that all night.
Right.
And that's what happens a lot.
Yeah.
Would you ever want him to know what you're telling us today?
I'd rather just tell them myself.
Yeah.
Said they're coming. I think they're gonna try to make a visit in like May or so.
So they don't. Do they still think that Shanann killed the girls?
They still believe that, even though I told them I pled guilty for a reason. But they think that I was their words like railroaded by the police.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, they felt like they pressured me to do it. And,
do you feel like that?
No.
No.
No. They asked me plenty of times. This is like, you know, they wanted to fight. Like, they were, if I said fight, they would have just, you know,
gone their gloves.
Yeah. Just went in there and did it. You know? Yeah, it's like, no, I can't have you do that.
So, Chris, you care about others deeply. I can tell. You worry about others. And I've asked you, you know, a bunch of times today, but you're not just telling us that you did it because you feel bad for Shanann's memory. You did it? Okay.
I have to say, like, you know, after this was all over, you know, people would bring up, like, oh my gosh, I bet you're going to find out that Chris, you know, used to torture animals and, you know, all this stuff. You can imagine, like, you know, hearing that someone's capable of that, what have they done in their past, those kinds of things. Can you think back to your past at all, like your childhood, and think about any other moments that maybe you felt this same rage? I mean, obviously you didn't do anything like that, but maybe felt that rage and, like, what would have triggered that or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, I was always, like, somebody that tried to coax people down, not to, like, if somebody wanted to fight somebody else. I think I got in a fight, like, when I was in third grade, but it was like, you know, we rip each other's shirt, went away crying. Mm-hmm. You know? It was, like, stupid. Mm-hmm. I was just like, why did I do that? And, like, maybe that was, like, my only, like, bad thing I did in school. So, I can't think of
it. Did you feel it on the inside, whether you didn't act it out? Like, did you feel like... like, if someone bullied you at school or if someone whatever, like, would it still be inside you? Like, did you feel like that even though you didn't actually act on it?
I don't believe it, because I was always, you know, I never really talked to many people. So I never, I mean, people knew who I was, but they didn't really, I mean, I never really spoke to many people. That's why I never really had a girlfriend in high school. I mean, I was always kind of like, just fly under the radar.
Did you feel like you had low self-esteem?
I won't say low self-esteem. It was just like, I didn't want to be part of, like, a group or a clique. I just, like, you know, I had a couple friends and I sat at a lunch table with them and or sat out in, they call it, like, the fish pond area and, you know, just chilled out there. And I didn't really want a whole lot of friends. Just kind of, like, just close-knit. And I just wasn't out there. I mean, like I said, people knew who I was, but it wasn't a matter of, like, I was popular or anything.
Mm-hmm. Can you attribute that to anything in your childhood? Why you were like
my
that?
Sister was always popular one.
Uh-huh.
She was more like my mom, like more like outgoing, and like me and my grandma would always sit outside in middle school waiting for her to come out and pick her up, and she'd always be the last one out because she'd talk to everybody in the hallway. And my grandma's always like, where is she at? Does she know we're waiting? But you know, it's how it is.